Hello and welcome to LCWS After Dark.
After Dark, even though it's only 2 p.m. We are...
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Eli. I'm the former co-president of LCWS and the current vice president of marketing, and...
And I am the former vice president of marketing, now the current co-president of LCWS.
Funny how that happens.
It is pretty funny.
That was probably my favorite thing, coming back from France and finding out that you were doing it again, and you were like, hey, are you interested? Because I don't know.
We needed another marketer.
Yeah, we always need to. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I was doing it like on my own. My year that I was
sorry about that.
So when I became president, I'm like, okay, we need two.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier with two people. Well, it's the same with being co-president, right?
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we are LCWS, the Laurier Creative Writing Society, and this is a club affiliated podcast. Woo! If you're part of Wilfrid Laurier University and you're an undergraduate, feel free to come find us. We do weekly meetings, 6 p.m. on Wednesdays at the moment. And they're hybrid meetings for now, right?
Yep. 1 week online and the next in person, and then
so on and so forth.
Alternating throughout the week.
Yeah, and we run both fall and winter semesters. So if you're interested, let us know. Our Instagram is LCWSWLU. And we also have a WordPress account, which we're going to read from very soon.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell them about our history?
This part of the podcast is in memoriam.
In memoriam? Okay, for context.
Actually, they're still alive and doing well. They're fine.
For context, we made a LCWS co-presidents and founders page on our WordPress, and it does say in memoriam because I thought it would be funny. They're fine. They're alive. They're doing great. Don't know what Ujwal's doing. He kind of just, he just disappeared, honestly.
Yeah, he's around, I'm sure.
He's in BC somewhere.
Yeah. The LCWS was founded in 2019 by Ujwal and Megan. They decided to be co-presidents because they both wished to run a creative writing club and believed that sharing is caring. Mm-hmm. Sharing the workload.
The second generation co-presidents were Elizabeth and Rebecca. And after that, it became you and Emil.
Yeah. We haven't updated the page, though. So.
Yeah, you guys... Actually, Becca isn't even on the website at all because she never gave me her photo. So it's only I'm the only co-president from 2021-2022.
It's okay. We'll fix that.
In fact, Megan is currently writing a novel and plans to publish it by December, and she started it in June. So I think she is insane. I think she did it a little bit with NaNoWriMo, like National Novel Writing Month. And she currently runs a Bookstagram, which I think is Meg_Mazzaferro. And she posts a lot of, like, she gets actual sponsorships and things like that. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
So that's our history. And basically what we do is we encourage people to write.
Yeah, we're all about creating a community of writers and getting together for the fun of writing and just writing and not having this idea that you have to have something polished and perfect by the end of it. You can just, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah, can have just a couple of sentences. You can have even just one word. We even encourage our members to, if they don't feel like it, they can even work on homework. They can literally just join and do nothing if they want to.
Yeah.
They can sit in a corner and be angry about the world.
Which was me last year. Not actually. We typically run workshops on various writing aspects. Some of my favorites were, experimental poetry, where we do, like, blackout poetry and concrete poetry, where you make shapes out of words, and that's a lot of fun. We always tend to run workshops on fantasy and, like, world building.
Those are popular.
Yeah, they're very popular, and they're kind of, like, the foundation of like writing stories to a certain degree. World building more so than just fantasy, because fantasy is a genre.
You never know. You never know. Maybe you could have historic realism fantasy horror comedy.
For sure.
That would be a very complicated book. I'd be impressed if someone could pull that off. Yeah, so we like running workshops. I've run comedy and horror workshops. I've run audio dramas because I'm the one person in the club who hates describing things, which is ironic considering how much I like to talk.
Yeah. You did run a dialogue workshop, which was really good because I cannot do dialogue.
It was fun because for those of you who weren't there, which I'm assuming is going to be the majority of you guys, we have a Discord, and that's where we run most of our meetings. And so I took people's tendencies when they write messages and I analyzed them, and I showed them how I showed it to our club members, how people speak, how writing dialogue is a lot different than writing narratively. And it was fun because all of you got freaked out because I could imitate all your writing styles.
Yeah, that was pretty amusing.
Yeah, I could imitate all the dialogues. Most people, you know how people have like catchphrases in like comics and stuff, or especially like Japanese anime and manga, where they always have like, I don't know, that one ending, like something, something, nyah, or
nyeh. Or Psyche always said, good grief.
Good grief. Yeah, there's always words that people use. Like, for example, me, I say words like throwback. I say the word so a lot. And you have your own tics.
I say a lot.
Yeah, you say a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, that just comes with the territory, right? If you're a writer. Just because words are in head. No, words do not come out of head.
Exactly. You just need a bit of buffering.
Yeah, so we also do, so we run, obviously, an Instagram and a Twitter, and we run... We apparently have a LinkedIn.
I didn't know about the LinkedIn either.
We didn't know about this before we started recording, but we have a LinkedIn. I was looking for our website because I couldn't find it off the top of my head. And I saw there was a LinkedIn and I was like, Melissa, did you know we have a LinkedIn? And Melissa was like, no.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So that was a fun surprise. We also have a Facebook, but it isn't monitored. And if you would like to send in anything to be published on our website, we take stories, we take poems, we've taken photography before as well from Alex. So feel free to submit.
Yeah, you can send it over to our email, which I believe, if I get this right, is lcwslaurier@gmail.com.
Yeah, I believe you're correct. All of our handles are different, and I find it really funny that we have, so obviously the L in LCWS means Laurier, and then we put Laurier at the end anyway.
Yes, that was right.
You were right. Good job. If you'd like to join our Discord server, you can find it on our Instagram account or on our web. You can find it anywhere, basically. Any of our social media, it's there.
Yeah.
Or you can just send us an email. So, with that being said, how about we do some short readings.
Oh, that would be fun.
So we have a couple of stories here. We have one that's a nice little poem here. It's not a little poem, it's a long poem. We have a very fun story that I wrote, I believe, a few years ago, and it cracked me up because it was about gender stereotypes. I think me and Becca ran a workshop on diversity, and we were talking about the way that people talk about women. And so we're like, what if we wrote men like we do women? So that's what I did. And did you have one at the ready?
Yeah, I had a poem that's one of my favorites. It's called Cold Water.
Ooh.
It's also one that was complimented by my
professor
at one point. Nice. Which was nice.
So this one is Things I Will Never Tell You About by Alex, who is a longtime member of our club. I think he was one of the first executive members, wasn't he? Or he was in like the second year that they did it.
I'm not sure about like executive members, but I know he's been around since the beginning.
He was an executive member once. I don't know what he did, but he was in it. So here we go. Eyes, ruby red, succulent green. eyes skirting up the wall. Iridescent things, slimy with the moisture of long-dead nights, blink at me in the corner of my room. I think they speak to me, as I try to close my own, their language rot in the flick of tears, as the eyelids flex shut in intervals, ruby, sapphire, topaz, glittering behind my blinds, between the threads of the Persian rug down the hall, blinking staccato tween the swirling knives of the fan, hums with an ill-conceived breath of dynamism. Lights pass by my window, car beams and moonbeams, all rung dim by the eyes, 10 million, 10 trillion twitching things. I dare not open my own, for they are windows, mirrors back at myself, stuck in the mirror box. The ruby is somewhere else in my house, a stain on the edge of that rug, ruby brown, splattered a little on the thread, a little on the wall, a little on the skin, beneath my fingernail, a little in my eye. Ruby eye, scrubbed once, scrubbed twice. The gem slick juice, copper sharp on my tongue, tints the left hemisphere a sanguine tint. Ruby red under the nail, staining my boots as I dragged him out the back, over the threads, the cobblestone, gravel and grass and dew of the sapphire night. Up and over, key in, emerald drops, Neptune royal pulses for me, topaz, the moon was. I was in her line of sight, locked in her point of view, eyes breathing through the wisp of the night cloud. Ruby sloshes the deck, emerald foam and garnet juice mingle as the weight drops overboard. Down, down, ruby wash, bubble and swim, dead weight down in the deep, with a salamandrine pearls of shell things and bitter chain iron. Down there the eyes are milky glazed, opal and jet and amber, wet with salt and teeth and indifference I sometimes think of as now, as the eyes blink at me through the cracking paint of my walls. Knuckle bones calcifying in the mud, hair once silver-tinged, now a seaweed's continence, emerald locks twined with ivory, ivory of warm eyes and sweat-decanted flesh slipping off and into the opalescent atmosphere, pockets empty, empty as my own eyes. Ruby and sapphire and emerald, I hid them all from the eyes, from my own, but they keep opening, slick and saturated in the violet ossuary of my room. Sometimes, when the squelch of blinking fills the air and the sloshing amber past my lips, swirls the world asunder at just the right angle, I talk to the one skittering beneath my nightstand and in the grooves between the floorboards and in the mouth of my Remington. I run film through my skull and project the night through my iris, blast it on the rug, project the tugging and hoisting and throttling upon the silken screen, rewind, again, maybe if I run it bright enough, expose it enough times, the bulb will break or the stalk will bleach and the image will crinkle and twist in a silver-licked flame out of the canister, out of my head, out of the deep, and he'll rewind across the deck, across the grass and gravel and threads, and the ruby will slither back into the vault in the temple where the marrow birthed it, and the amber will flow from our guts and held back the emerald beetles that bled it, and the ruby and emerald and sapphire running through our hands, running through our hearts, will slide down the roads and into the soil where we found it, and backwards, backwards we will walk, and we will be whole again. So that was by Alexander. So I really like that poem. It's hard to read. We had to do a couple of edits because of all the words. We had a dynamism was a tricky word to read. And there's a lot of repetition, but I really love just, like, I know people say this a lot, but he paints with words.
Yeah, this was written during one of my poetry writing workshops.
Yeah, this was written in, 2023.
Yeah, it's written last year. Or, no, wait, 2023 is this
January,
year.
January.
Yeah.
It was submitted in January, so it might have been in 2022 when it was actually written.
I don't remember, honestly. But yeah, the idea with this exercise was to just keep writing and don't, like, think about it. Just keep writing. And he did a really good job with it.
He did. I like Ruby Wash, Bubble, and Swim. I don't know. It feels like, I don't know how to describe it, but it feels like the ocean almost.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a really cool poem that I really like. I like Alex's stuff most of the time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It definitely has a way with words.
Yes. He also has a rejection spike, which I think is funny.
It's beautiful.
For context, he was applying to, what was he, master's programs? Or was he applying submit things?
He was submitting short stories to, like, a publication.
Yeah, that must have been it. And he kept, because he saw that some people do it and there's a rejection spike. And generally speaking, you'll have like a bunch, you'll have 100 rejections before you have one acceptance when it comes to writing. And so he kept them and he got in pretty quick. He didn't have 100 rejections, but we went over recently and he still has the spike, which made me laugh.
It's beautiful.
It is. Would you like to read yours?
Yeah, I actually haven't posted this one on WordPress.
Oh, so it's an exclusive. A podcast exclusive.
Mm-hmm. It's called Cold Water. Cold water runs through my veins. It keeps me alive, chilled, and calm. And my body remains safe from the burning embers in my heart. But every drop of the water is a pain so deep that I cannot allow myself to feel, else I fall apart. My skin is ice to the touch, as if I walk amongst the undead, deep in an ocean, moving along the current with my brethren, not quite alive. And it was you, whose blood burns white with skin of hot ash, who offered me up to them, to the swarm of the undead, because it was easier for you to bask in the heat yourself than risk the cold to warm me.
Wow. I like the ending. It's like, screw you. I instinctively wanted to say, screw you, Dad. No, that's great. I like the mental imagery that came to me. You know how Minecraft recently added the water zombies?
Yeah, the drowned.
Yeah, the drowned.
Fun fact, I have a poem about those as well somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah.
That would be funny.
I actually have 3 poems based off of Minecraft.
We have one on the website, don't we?
And one of them is on the website.
Only the highest class writing here. No, I really like that. I really liked them. I like the mental, and whenever people reference walking underwater, mm-hmm. it's such a weird thing to think about, because as a child, I used to try to do headstands in a deep pool or whatever, but actually getting on the ground and walking on when you're underwater is very difficult.
Yeah, it's like almost like you're walking or trying to run in a dream, mm-hmm. you know, how it's just like you're trying to go as fast as you can, but it just feels like you're in slow motion.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Our last one to read. Our last one is Shia LaBeouf, which I think may be my favorite thing I've ever written in all time, and I completely forgot that I've written it. Okay, here we go. I almost feel like we need the Shia LaBeouf background music, like quietly in the background. I'll add it in editing. Are we allowed to do that? I don't know.
Copyright might be a thing there.
Oh, that's true. I'll figure something out. Okay. He's coming. I can see him out of the corner of my eye. Shia LaBeouf. I'm walking through the abandoned Kmart, marshmallows on my left, broken bags of packing foam on my left. In front of me is a rusted blackened cash register, long since made unusable by years of exposure and war. I hear the packing foam squeak and crunch under his feet as he approaches, and I duck under the desk, hide under the register in the hopes that he will leave. Shia LaBeouf. He breathes hot and heavy. Every inhale a sigh, every exhale a growl. His arms are long, dangling down to the ground so low that his fingers drag in the blood-stained dirt. His chest is as wide as he is tall, with masculine shoulders that taper away into thin, Dorito-like hips. Shia LaBeouf. He leans over the counter, those brilliant bazookas of his pressing into the cold, hard metal and squishing like a ripe banana under a hot fork. I can see it in his eyes, his University of California goldenrod eyes with green flecks around the pupils, how they dilate and his nostrils flare. I can sense his want, his need through osmosis. Shia LaBeouf. He reaches out so tenderly, fingers like old French fries and arms like blocks of sexy wood, and crushes the cash register in his hand. His beauty is so effortless, so masculine, that it cannot be completely natural. He calls to me, and all I can do is fall into his passionate embrace. Shia LaBeouf. I want you to know, everyone who's listening, Melissa the entire time was like looking to the side and trying not to laugh. And I want to say my favorite parts are marshmallows on my left, broken bags of packing foam on my left. I want you to, this was originally a mistake. I was, and I noticed it after I wrote it, and I was like, no, they're both on my left.
As you were reading that, for the next couple paragraphs, I was like, on my left, both of them, on the left.
That was everyone's first reaction.
That doesn't feel right, but it feels right, you know?
That was everyone's first reaction. I read it in club, too. I'm pretty sure they're like, did you mean to put that on the right? No. No, they're both on the left.
This is very intentional. I like the brilliant bazookas. I feel like that was a reference to something that we had talked about.
So the reason why we made that workshop was because Becca and I, and I think you as well, were scrolling. We're going through r/menwritingwomen on Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
And so the brilliant bazookas and the thin Dorito-like hips and the golden California eyes, the it cannot be completely natural, we're all from the weird things that men write about women.
Published pieces of work.
Yes, these are published, well-known
that
pieces.
That someone got paid for.
Yes, someone was paid to write these. The thing I remember, cannot be completely natural, really made me angry. I don't remember why, but I was like, what do you mean? She's just pretty. She's just pretty. Why are you saying that people can't be pretty? My other favorite phrase in here is squishing like a ripe banana under a hot fork. It's an uncomfortable phrase.
Very uncomfortable.
And it just has a very strong mental image. Because
it really does.
I think it's because it takes people, they've never heard that before, so then they're like, huh.
That's the fun thing about, like, odd imagery like that.
Yeah.
It takes you a second to, like, let it sink.
Yeah, I like writing ridiculous things like this. So if you'll get a lot of, as we go on with these podcasts, if we read a mine, you'll get a lot of interesting imagery because I don't like describing things, so I make it funny. Is my thing.
That's fair. I like describing things. I like coming up with nice, flowy, beautiful prose.
We're like the opposite as writers.
We really are.
It's very funny. Melissa, if you read Melissa's stuff, it's generally like these really long, beautiful lines of prose, and I'm like, they were in a room, probably. They might not be. We'll find out. Maybe. All right. I think that's all we have for this episode. Unless you have anything else to add?
That's all we wrote.
That's all we wrote.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. And I guess we'll see you guys in the next episode. You'll see us in Scooby Dooby Doo. Who are you? Our episode about LCWS cryptids.
Yeah, and our club lore.
Club lore. We got lots of reading to do. All right. See you guys next time.